still feel like I'm missing something. But hey, maybe it will come by the end. All right. Well, I'm excited. Are you in the Christmas season yet? Are you feeling Christmassy? Are you listening to songs on the radio? Are you drinking eggnog? I mean, what are you doing? You know, are you getting Christmassy? Or is it, are you still bah humbug? I mean, is the Scrooge there? I mean, what are you doing? What are you doing to drive out Scrooge, right? To have the season, the festivity. And I think, I hope you are. I hope you're preparing for a great Christmas time. Not just because it's Christmas, but I think it is a season that we can share a lot of joy. And like literally take opportunities as you can. Like if you're in Walmart or wherever you're at, just try to share that Christmas joy. Be intentional about saying Merry Christmas, because you know how people are. Like, I don't know, make it a little weird, like Merry Christmas. Like, you know, it's like we really want you to have a joyful, Christ-filled time this year, that you encounter God, that you encounter Jesus. Hey, can I pray for you? What can I do to bless your day? Just like be creative to find ways to bless people this Christmas, okay? For some people, it's just going to be, it's not the best season, right? It's just not the best season. And we hear about this from psychology, that sometimes this is the most depressing time of the season for some people. And what we can do, those who have the joy of the Lord and know the joy of Christ and the reason why we're celebrating, you know, to be able to express that and say, wait a minute, I want to just think about somebody who just might need a blessing today and maybe just need a word of encouragement, or just say, you know, God sees you, God loves you. Like that whole Christmas thing, that's about you too. That's for you too. And not to let that be missed in the middle of all the season and all the stuff that we're doing to prepare for Christmas. So make that part of what your Christmas is all about, okay? I just pray that through all of us, we're going to end up touching people in significant ways, and we don't even realize we're doing it just by reaching out. Amen. All right. Well, let's talk about something that God has gifted to us, and it's such a blessing, and yet we're not always experiencing it, okay? I want to start in Isaiah 9, verses 6, scripture we read earlier, but I'm just going to read verse 6. It says this very familiar passage, prophecy from Isaiah. It says this, it says, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That last title is very significant. I'm going to hone in a little bit on that today, because what we want to talk about today is peace. And it's something that is available to each and every one of us. It's something that is given to us, and yet it's something that we don't always have. Do you ever wonder sometimes in your life, where's my peace? Where has my peace gone? I had my peace, but it seems to have gotten lost along the way somewhere. Do you ever stop and realize that you've arrived at a place where you're not at peace? Instead, you're upset, you're bothered, you're frustrated, you're even mad. You're mad about things. You're mad about life. You're mad at others. Maybe you're mad at yourself. Maybe you're mad at God. There's things that have upset the balance of your life, and it's just not tranquil. It's not peaceful. Life is not the way it should be, or at least not the way you think it should be. Life's not working out in some ways that we believe. And other people aren't acting the way they should act. Other people are doing things that are upsetting. I mean, you could look at this last season with politics, right? I mean, maybe once during that season you got a little bit upset. Maybe something just kind of threw you for a loop. You read something, you saw something, you encountered something, and it really upset you. You were not happy. Many people were upset. Beyond reason, foaming at the mouth upset. Like they couldn't even think straight, they were so upset. And all this politics stuff was creating that, and it was certainly creating division and divisiveness, and a lot of people just couldn't behave right. But maybe, Maybe you were upset at others. Maybe other people were upset at you. Whatever it may be. But in the midst of all that, people lose their peace. Maybe you found yourself losing your peace because of things that you saw and read and all the kind of things that were going on in the world. It's easy to surmise, especially where we've been through the political season, that the world is not as it should be. And I think we would all agree that the world is not as it should be. There's too much conflict. There's turmoil. There's people constantly pointing the finger at others saying, you're at fault. You're my enemy. I can't trust you, or I can't trust you anymore because you're on that side of the fence now. Ultimately, healthy conversations break down. Because we could have dialogue, right? But not when we're hating each other. Not when we're despising each other. And big walls go up and they divide us. Certainly in this world, there's a lack of peace. The world is not what we want it to be. And there's so many things we would change. We would like to change. Out there in the world, and sometimes if we're honest, sometimes we look at our own personal lives and say, you know what, there's some changes that I would like to happen in my own life. Yet in the midst of a tumultuous world we live in, we can have peace. Now, sometimes we have to ask ourselves, how is this possible? And I think this is part of our gospel sharing with the world. To tell a world that it's possible to have peace even when the world is not at peace. It's possible. Because right now, there are people out there that are mad at somebody. Maybe you're mad at somebody. Maybe somebody's mad at you. And it's upsetting and it's bringing tension into your life. Maybe somebody's disappointed you. Maybe you've disappointed somebody else. Maybe somebody said something very personal to you that offended you. Maybe you offended somebody and you didn't even realize, you don't even know what you did. But they seem to have just distanced themselves from you and they're not talking to you and you don't even know why. That's frustrating. If people would just do the right thing, right? Then peace would be possible. I mean, if everybody else would shape up and get in order, right? We would have peace. But we know that's not what it's all about. This world will continue to grow in divisiveness. And there will continue to be conflict and wars and things going on a large scale and also on a small scale where even families are fighting with each other and people are not getting along and people who were once friends are now turning their backs on each other. And so we can't control everything because people will continue to disappoint us or upset us. We will even disappoint ourselves. I don't know about you, but I disappoint myself sometimes. Sometimes I don't have peace within because I'm not at peace with myself. Because I say things like, why did I say that? Or I do things like, why did I do that? I don't quite get me sometimes because it seems like I'm out of joint with what I know to be true. But what if we have these disappointments in life with others and others have disappointments with us? And I wonder about this peace. Can we have this peace? We know we can if we know the Prince of Peace. And that's what it all comes back to. There's a lot of stuff happening out there. And there's some that out there comes in my space and it comes in your space. But we know that there's the Savior who came. That we're celebrating at Christmas, and he was given a title, the Prince of Peace. It's one of the greatest things God gives us. God gives us this gift called peace. And he doesn't just wrap it up like a box with wrapping paper and gives it to us and it says peace on it. It's not just something I can just take home and put under my Christmas tree. It's something that needs to become very personal to me. Not just something external, it has to become something internal for this gift to really be understood and known. Now, we read about peace, even in the Bible, where it says, and we hear it in songs, it says, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And we believe that when Jesus came, the birth of Christ, it was all about bringing goodwill to men, and it was. But the King James Version that comes from is really not the best translation. In fact, when we look at pretty much every other translation, it's got a little different connotation. Luke 2:14 is where this comes from. I'll read it out of the NASB. It says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among people with whom he is pleased. So it's not for all people, but why? So we can say and talk about this theologically. It is for all people. But it comes upon the peace of Christ, the peace that Christ gives, comes upon those whom he is pleased with. And who is he pleased with? He's pleased first and foremost with his son Jesus. That, and the Father says, when he came down, the Holy Spirit like a dove, he says, this is my son whom I am pleased with. And here's the reality. If you have the son, and you've seen the son, and you know the son, you have the Father. And the Son is in you because you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior. He's pleased with you because he's pleased with his Son. And you have the Son, and the Son has you. The blood of Christ is upon you. He is pleased with you. But we need to understand that as Jesus came into the world, there were those who would reject him and those who would refuse him. The Greek word eirene means peace, harmony, well-being, all the things that we would expect from that word and the things that we all want. We all want peace. We all want harmony. We all want well-being within us and for our lives. But that well-being is not simply the absence of conflict. It's not just the absence of conflict. We all want this. We all want absence of conflict. We want harmony in our relationships, harmony in life. But eirene, that word, that Greek word, goes beyond. It is that, but it goes beyond. It has this connotation of taking what is broken and bringing to wholeness. That's powerful. I'll say that again. The Greek word eirene, translated as peace, has the connotation of taking what is broken and bringing to wholeness. This first and foremost applies to our relationship with him, our relationship with God. See, this idea of Jesus being the Prince of Peace was something where he came down to us to restore that which was broken. The first thing that was broken was our relationship with God. That we could not have this relationship with God apart from Christ bringing reconciliation to the world. And this is why we have where the scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And so we see that this idea of the Prince of Peace involves suffering, his suffering. You see, he suffered for our peace. Isaiah 53:5 says, the punishment that brought us peace was on him. On him. So his suffering brings us peace so that we could have a relationship with God and be at peace with him. This is crucial. This is what Christ did on the cross for us. Romans 5:1. Romans 5:1 says, Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. You can have peace with God today. You know, you can tell somebody in the grocery store, you can have peace with God. You don't have peace in your life? We could talk about all the reasons why that is, but it needs to come back to this place. Do you have peace with God? Do you know that you belong to him? That's what Christ did. He came, suffered, and died to give us peace, peace with God, so that for all eternity, we are not in enmity, but we are in this wonderful, beautiful relationship with Him. So God reconciled us to Him in Christ. So when we trust our lives in His hands, we have peace with God. We don't have to fear punishment. It was taken for us at the cross upon Jesus. This means that you and I, we're no longer enemies of God. You see, that's what we once were. We once were enemies of God because we stood outside of Christ. We stood on our own standing, and we stood under the enemies of God, even the evil of this world. But we're no longer enemies of God. Now we're called by His name as sons and daughters of God. See, those who reject God do not have this peace. They don't have this peace. And they can look for peace in every which way in this world, trying to do things in this world to have peace. Whether it's to smoke this or drink this or have this relationship or try to have the next best job or try to make lots of money or just whatever it is to try to control life and try to bring some semblance of order and peace. That's all the world can do. But even you can have all the riches of this world and still be miserable on the inside. You have no peace. And the lack of peace should tell us something about our relationship with God. What's going on there? And it's one reason why we see so much conflict and turmoil in the world today. Because there are so many people who stand as enemies of God and are fighting against God, and they sometimes don't even know it. They don't even realize it. That how they're living and what they're doing is standing in opposition against God. They're fighting against the very thing that came to bring them peace. So this world will continue to have turmoil. There will continue to be enemies of God until God comes and once for all deals with evil in this world. There will continue to be opposition. And in many ways, we understand this opposition is to the reign and rule of Christ. Because Christ came to bring peace to the earth. He did. But the Bible says that He even now is subjecting all His enemies under His feet. And we're a part of that, bringing things under the feet of Christ. And we're also part of this kingdom of God movement of sharing the gospel to the world so that others might know the peace of God in their lives. We need to let people know that they can be a friend of God, not an enemy. So God gives us peace, where we're no longer captive by sin or the workings of evil in our lives, though we see it working out there in the world. But Christ also gives us internal peace while living in a world that's not at peace. And this is also very important for us in our daily lives because there's a lot of things that come at us that want to steal our peace. John 14:27, Jesus is talking to His disciples. And He's having time with them, and He's speaking to them, and He knows He will not be with them forever, but He will send the Holy Spirit to them. But He wants to leave this message with them. And He says this, He says, peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. See, the coming of Jesus brings peace to all those who belong to Christ. All those who say yes to the rule and reign of Christ on this earth. There's more I want to say about that because what Christ did, when the child came on Christmas Day, what that was doing was tumultuous, was powerful, was awesome. I would love to speak more about that. But I do want to say, what it procured for us is peace with God and peace within, in my internal life, in your internal life, that we can have this amazing peace even when things out in the world are not at peace. Jesus speaks to his disciples, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your heart be afraid. And we know in this world, this tumultuousness of this world, we can experience that. We can experience the frailties of life. And the temptation is fear. The temptation is worry. The temptation is to even do things to try to control life in such a way to keep out all that we consider to be not good. Fear can be such a distraction to us that we kind of lose our vision even for life. And we lose our perspective. All kinds of fears in there. I can't name all the fears here, but there's so many fears. There's fear of lack. There's fear of abandonment. There's fear of being cheated in some way or another. There's the fear of not getting what is due to you. There's the fear that something in your life will never get better. It just won't ever get better. All these things can steal your peace and rob you of joy. And that's what the enemy wants to do. Whether it's fears or troubles, troubles that burden us and weigh us down and make our hearts very heavy, we need to find something that gives us peace when we face troubles, when we face fear. And that's what the enemy wants to disorient us. The enemy wants to feed the fires of fear and worry in our lives. So you have a worry. You have a fear. The enemy gets that. He sees that. And he tries to feed that. And all he wants you to do is just be distracted away from your true place where you need to be. I mean, it's as simple as turn on the news. And all the bad stuff you see out there, you just feed it and feed it and feed it. I know a year ago I preached on that and said, you know, if you, there were studies done, if you have constant feed of negative news in your life, constant feed, and you're just feeding it by watching the news and everything that's negative, it actually, studies show that you actually can have symptoms in your life that resemble PTSD. That can actually show up in your life because you're feeding negativity. It's not like it's not true or not true. I mean, you know how the news will just take the worst of the worst and just blow that up and tell you that the world, everything is falling apart. And there is a lot of bad stuff going on out there. But if you feed that, it can actually cause psychological problems. Studies show that. It can actually cause you psychological problems. What does God say? What does God say? He says, no, don't be so focused on what's going on in the world. Yes, don't. It's not like be aware, okay? But he says, think upon things that are lovely. Think upon things that are holy. Think upon things that are of good repute. Think upon things that will renew your mind. Renew your mind in the Word. Renew yourself in His presence. Don't get so caught up in all the negative stuff. I mean, you know people who want to bring you into their dramas? And you're like, wait a minute, and the red flags go up in your life? And there's a red flag there for a reason, because you want to love some people in your life, and you should love them. But find a way to love them without getting caught up in their drama. Because there's just people that, it seems like everybody has that person in your life. There's in your family or whatever it is, there's always a drama going on. There's always that one. There's always that one. We all know that person. And we want to love them, we want to bless them, and I think we should. But just be careful, because sometimes they just want you to get caught up in their whirlwind. They're living in a whirlwind, and we're like, Lord God, help this person get out of their troubles and their fears and all their trepidations and all the things that they feel like the sky is falling all around them. But if they would know the Prince of Peace, if they would know the one who saves their soul, if they would know the one who came to bring brokenness in their lives to a place of wholeness, if they would know that one. And this is for us. is for us today. Because wherever the enemy is trying to wear you down, you've got to stand up and say, no. You've got to deal with that. You've got to actually be active and say, I see what the enemy's doing, trying to wear me down, and I'm not going to go that pathway. I'm not going to go down where the enemy wants to take me, because he wants to wear me down, and then he wants to bring in the counterfeit. He says, okay, now we got you worn down. Now we got you discombobulated and all over the place. Now I'm going to try to offer you something that's a counterfeit of what God offers you. And that's what the enemy does. He always wants to give you a counterfeit piece. And the counterfeit piece is only what the world can offer. Smoke this, drink this, try that, try to have a lot of money, try to have this, try to have that. And it's all false peace. Because nothing can bring you the peace of Christ except the one who saved your soul. So when we're lacking peace, we must reorient. We kind of need to figure out, wait a minute, I see what the enemy's doing. It's time to reorient myself back to where peace can be found. If we're missing Jesus in this season, we eventually, whatever season we're in, if we're missing Jesus, we eventually find ourselves in a place where we lack peace. And you know, take that as a sign. Realize, Lord, I'm lacking peace. And sometimes if we don't know what it is, God, what is it? What is causing me to lack peace? What's causing that? What's going on in my soul? And then we need to find ourselves reoriented, because the peace that I need is found in a person. It's found in a person. And I'm called to fix my gaze back upon the one who gives me peace. That's where we got to go. We've got to go back to him. We've got to get our gaze upon him. Because a lot of times we don't have peace because we've gotten so caught up in so many other things in this world. And sometimes those things just want to spin us to a place where we totally are lacking peace. So the peace I need won't be found in my circumstances, even if they're good, because they're temporary. And that's always a situation. Our circumstances are temporary. I need to fix myself on what is sure, what is for all eternity, which cannot be taken away, as long as I fix myself upon him. I'll be blessed for it, and those around me will be blessed by my fixing myself on him. You know, it's so much easier to be around people who are at peace. You ever notice that? It's easier for you to be at peace when you're around people who are at peace. And the opposite's true, right? And so what I'm doing by fixing my gaze upon Jesus is bringing myself back to peace. But it's also being able to bless others around me and say, hey, I found this really cool thing that if you fix your eyes upon Jesus, you stop worrying about all those little things. You stop letting all those things that are so bothersome and worrisome and wants to bring me to fear, they seem to not be so significant because I'm finding my significance in him. It's amazing how that works. And when we can help people find their peace because we're helping them find Christ in the midst of their struggles, we're blessing people. We're ministering to people. We're actually offering the ministry of reconciliation to people because we're reconciling them to peace. It means we're reconciling them to Christ. And we're not allowing people to get bent out of shape by things that, honestly, are not always what we think they are. So we all know that fears will come our way. The enemy will send them. Even thoughts. But we need to work in our lives to create atmospheres that continually bring us back into his presence. You know, that's where I'm going to find peace. I'm going to find it in his presence. It's amazing. You ever had those experiences? I think we have, where we get so bent out of shape by something, or something's causing some emotional turmoil. I've experienced that, where something's really got me worried or bothered or upset. And I notice when I bring this to Jesus, when I bring this to Christ, and I spend time with him, I don't just go have a complaint session with him. I go to sit at his feet and say, Lord, I just need you. I need to spend time with you. It's amazing. It's amazing after spending time with Jesus how I can walk away. My circumstances haven't changed, but I have changed. And that's the gospel. That's so much of the gospel. When our circumstances haven't changed, but I've changed, that means God is working inside of me. And that's exactly what he wants to do. So he tells us, don't fear. Don't get into that state of being. Be free from that. So we need atmospheres that continually bring us back in our lives, atmospheres in our life that continue to bring us back to his presence. Continually. Not to allow the enemy to steal our time or to get us tangled up in problems and where the enemy's trying to work chaos in our lives. He's trying to do that, and sometimes he succeeds. But all that is just come back. Come back into God's presence. Because God has overcome the enemy and given us a pathway to peace. But obedience is key here. And so my wife, Erica, it's kind of interesting how God sets some things up sometimes. And, just let me ask you this. And this is not fair, because this just probably talks about women here. I want you to put yourself into this category here. Because I'm going to ask the question, what if you lost your purse in a public space, right? Men, okay, what's the opposite? Maybe you lost your wallet, or you lost your keys to your car, your favorite car. Not the one that you would give away, your favorite car. So what would you do? How would you feel if you lost it in a public place and you did not have any idea where it was? So I want my wife just to share the story, because God set this up. I mean, we couldn't script this.
Okay, so God did set us up. Yesterday, I had a very busy day. Fun, but busy. So I did all kinds of things. At the end of the day, took the kids to a Christmas party, always great. But the little shopping I wanted to do during the day to have my little bags ready for their tutors tomorrow, I hadn't finished. And then by the time we put them in bed, I told Mark, it's 10 p.m., Walmart closes at 11, I'm going. He's like, are you sure you're going? I said, it's cold, but I'm going because I want to rest tomorrow. So I took off, went to Walmart, went to my closet, got my little purse. I'm happy. I'm accomplishing this. Went to Walmart. Oh, it's empty. Not too full. I said, I don't have much to buy, but I'll take a cart. Put my purse on the seating area, and here I go. Took my time. It's almost 11. Whoo, they're about to close. I'm going now. Except that when I'm about to pay, I look around and I say, well, wait a minute. I didn't bring my purse. I thought I brought it. I said, oh, it's okay. I have my phone. I have my card on my phone. I'm modern. I told the lady, you know, how do you do this? She said, well, we don't have that feature at Walmart. I said, oh, no, but can you help me? And she said, if you have the app, you can pay still with your phone. I said, awesome. I'll download the app. Except that the internet wasn't working. So I kept connecting and kept saying, no internet found. And she said, that's weird. This has never happened before. I said, it's okay, it's cold, but I'm walking to the van. I'll get my purse. I left it in the van. Walked all the way there. I knew I had brought my purse. No purse to be found. And I said, oh, man, I came here tonight to save time tomorrow. So I came back to the lady. She kept my stuff, and she was international. She had a little accent like me. And I told her I could not find my purse. Let's try to download the app. Long story short, we stayed until 11. No, it wouldn't download. So I told her, and she's like, oh, ma'am, what's going to happen? I said, well, I guess I forgot my purse at home. It's okay. I'll have to come back tomorrow. And then I told her, let me pray. You know, I believe in Jesus. Do you believe in Jesus? And then she looked at me, and she said, I do. She seemed to be Middle Eastern, so she whispered. I said, awesome, so we're going to pray. And I prayed, I asked Jesus, help this thing download. It didn't. And she was a little like, oh, I'm so sorry. I said, it's okay. I got in the van. I wasn't sure where the purse was, but I said, Lord, I will praise you. I am not going to worry. I'll get home, find my purse. Went home praising God all the way home. Got there, no purse. And Mark looks at me like, it's 11. I said, I have nothing. I told him the story. We went online to start blocking all the cards. I said, my purse was stolen. I had the vivid memory. I had put it on the card. So I said, honey, it's okay. We blocked everything we could, and I kept thinking about, oh, my driver's license. But I said, you know what? I'm going to have peace. And so I went to bed, woke up in the middle of the night, my purse. I said, Jesus, I am going to sleep. And I kept just saying, it's okay. In the morning, I told the girls, and they're like, Mom, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to praise Jesus. And so I told him, I have to go to the dollar store because I really want to buy this gift bag that I was missing, the gift bag, and I'll borrow your card, and I'll come back, and I'm not going to worry about it. When I'm driving to the dollar store, I hear the Holy Spirit whisper, go back to Walmart and ask at the lost and found. And then I said, okay, but I put it in my card. I didn't lose my purse. I decided to drive all the way there, went in line, and it's funny because he's talking about the troubles. There's a guy at the customer service, and he is so mad about something that's broken. He's kind of like cursing, and the lady, calm down, sir, I'll solve the problem. And I stood there, and then eventually my turn came, and I told her, I said, ma'am, by any chance, have you found a purse? And she asked me to describe. I described. She got the keys, went all the way in the back, and then she said, is this it? I said, my purse. And I was so happy to find my purse, and I checked. Everything was inside. But I called him. I said, I found my purse, and I explained what happened. He said, you need to share this. And the reason why I'm sharing is just exactly, it's just a vivid example of what he's saying. Keeping your eyes stayed upon Jesus. Because it's happened to me before, where I lost something. It's a mystery because I know I didn't lose. So somebody probably took it from the place, but somehow they decided to return it. Because I know it was, but God is so faithful. And I told Mark, this was a test. And when he told me he was preaching on peace, I said, that was a setup. And I guess no matter what's happening, we need to remember to keep our eyes stayed upon God. And it's funny because he gave me worship upon worship of praise and thanksgiving, even when I didn't have my stuff. And then he showed himself faithful. It doesn't always turn out good in that sense. But I think that peace, he always makes things good. So thanks for listening to my mama's story. And I have my purse. Praise the Lord.
Of our cards. Yes. You know, God, the enemy wants to get you into fear mode. That's where, and you feel that. You feel that temptation to go into fear mode. And it's like, wait a minute. Now, what I love about my wife is that she prays. Like, she prays. Like, okay. She's had more experiences of this than I know of anybody else who the keys are here, lost, or whatever it is. And then he says, okay, let's pray. Let's pray. And then like Holy Spirit just tells her, go look here, go there. It's like, you've got this helper that just helps you find your keys and your wallets and everything else. And of course, keeping your purse for you. And I just love that. I love that. But you know, look, if you're out of peace, you won't hear the Holy Spirit. If you're in consternation mode, if you're in fear mode, we don't hear the Holy Spirit. You know, it almost takes like something knocking us on the head to say, hey, wake up. You're not going to find your answer in fear, but you're going to find it in the presence of God. And it's so amazing how when we're with God, God can speak to us something so simple, and that corrects something that needed to be corrected, or that brings us to a place that we need to be brought to, or that brings something to awareness that we weren't aware of before, but we needed to be aware of. It can be so simple. Maybe that person who's really grumpy that you've been around, maybe the Holy Spirit reveals something to you about their life. What's going on in their life? What's causing them to be so difficult in this season? They're just not a nice person. Maybe the Holy Spirit will reveal that to you, and maybe that's what you start praying for. Because there's something in that person's life that's really, it's like the thorn in the paw that is causing a limp and causing that person not to be whole. So that's just an invitation to prayer and interceding. We don't know. We don't know. But when you spend time with the Lord, He'll give you peace, even when other people are not at peace. Amen. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-25 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Peace is ours. It's yours. It's mine. It belongs to us. Because why? Christ belongs to us. We belong to Him. But we're to live out this new nature. Because we're called. See, peace is part of the new nature. It's part of the Christ nature in us. And that's what we're to grow in. Our old sinful nature will rob us of that peace. But the nature of Christ working in us brings us peace. But we get to that nature by walking close with God, by relationship with Him. That's relational language. When it says, when the Scripture says to keep in step with the Spirit, because that's what it calls us to do. Live by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. That's relational language. So we have to have a relationship, an ongoing daily relationship with God. Too many Christians get out of peace because you're missing that ongoing daily relationship with Christ. You're relying too much on your circumstances to be good, to feel good, and to have what you would have really ultimately. Sometimes we settle for a temporary peace over and above the peace that we have in Christ. So let us live by the Spirit, and we will experience profound peace. And even that peace in Philippians where it says, the peace that transcends all, in all understanding. It goes beyond our understanding. We don't even get it. We don't understand why we're at peace when bad things are happening around us, but we can have that kind of peace. So if I'm growing in Christ and you're growing in Christ, we'll see this. We'll see this. We'll see this in our walk with Jesus. The presence of peace will be there. Okay? And if you're lacking peace, let that just be a signal. Let me get back to Jesus. Let me get back to Christ. Let me get all this stuff before Him. Not try to figure this out all myself, but just get before Him. Even when it's still a mess. Because I need to have peace. 2 Peter 1, 2. Chapter 1, verse 2 says, may God give you more. More, right? May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. So we can have more peace. But what does it say? Grow. There's more and more grace and peace for your lives. But it says grow. Grow in your knowledge, which is personal. Personal knowledge. Not encyclopedia knowledge, personal knowledge of Him. So peace will grow in you. Where's your peace today? Are you at peace? Do you have peace? Not based on just because life is good, somebody's cooking you a good dinner, you know, you got your favorite thing to do. I mean, that's great. That's wonderful. That's awesome. But it's temporary. Those are temporary things. But do you have the kind of peace that Jesus gives us? He's here. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. He abides with us. And we are to abide with Him. Because what He wants to do in bringing us peace is work all things in our lives and bring broken things to complete wholeness. He's at work in our lives. We just need to allow Him to do the work that He wants to do. Abide with Him and have peace.